B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Speaking of Kanye, as we come back on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia, 610-632-0975. Kanye donates $2 million to the families of those who have recently passed away due to some senseless violence, and sets up a college fund. Not that there's going to be a shortage of money there for George Floyd's daughter. So Kanye, as the music came up, he put himself back in the mix all of a sudden. This is a different kind of Kanye. So there's that. The 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corpolis Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. I was waiting for that, and it's interesting. But on the line right now, the NBA is back. The NBA votes 29-1 today to be back. Therefore, in a very short amount of time, we get to hear more from this man, Mr. Mark Zumoff, on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. How are you today, sir?
My good friend, I am great, and it's good to be back to work in that capacity, and hopefully we'll see you and Crystal on Sixers Outsiders as well.
I really hope so. Now, we have some more details. Obviously, July 31st is the date. They say that June 15th will be the day that the international players return. They will all report on June 21st for almost like a mini-camp type of situation. And on the 22nd of June, that's when the coronavirus testing, the regular testing, will begin. So there were a lot of people who were worried about the safety of this situation. Testing for a full month out ahead of time and beginning some isolation, do you think that'll help mitigate some of the health concerns that people have?
I'm not a doctor, but as I view it on the surface, I would say certainly any kind of testing has to be of benefit. I would also think that down the road, there'll be more testing. There'll be consistent and constant testing. I think that has to be part of it. So, yes, while the NBA did announce that they're going to try to resume the season on or around July 31st, I mean, my goodness, there are still so many logistical things to be worked out as it relates to the health and safety of the players. I can't imagine what must be going on right now, but I'm sure there are a lot of people doing a lot of work to make sure that this thing can go off and go off as safely as possible.
You're absolutely right. They say training camp would begin June 30th, hypothetically, assuming everything goes safely. And then July 7th is when all the teams would then travel down to Orlando. And it will be very interesting to see how this plays out. It was 29-1 on the vote. Do you think that it was, what do you think was the main motivating factor? Was it the $900 million for the playoffs? Was it just wanting to have some normalcy? Was it all of the above? Why do you think the NBA has been so able to come up with the deal while Major League Baseball, for example, has just been completely impossible for them to come up with a deal?
I can't really comment on the baseball situation. I just am more familiar, Tyrone, with my own backyard. Right. I know that Adam Silver is a great leader. He's a great commissioner. He has always made it a point to engage the players' union, whether it's on social issues and certainly on economic issues. I know that the owners, in the person of Adam Silver and his staff, have been in regular touch with Michelle Roberts and the NBA Players Association to get this done, and they will be as they dot the I's and cross the T's are going forward. So I still think there's some work to be done, but listen, the NBA, A, is a part of our fabric. We love the game. We love the game as fans. It's a part of my livelihood, obviously. So I'm happy that it's back, and that has to be a driving factor. And it's a business, so that has to be a driving factor. To not have games, to not be able to get the television revenue, to cost yourself some branding because you're going to take even more months off and not finish the season, I think are all things that legislated positively toward getting this thing going again. And I am elated with today's announcement. I can't wait to get started again.
I'm completely with you. Shifting to the Sixers, they're the sixth seed right now. You have like the plan for the eight regular season games. They could move up as high as four, or who knows, realistically, it seems like four would be realistic. As a man who watched every dribble of every game all season long, Are you more comfortable with them avoiding the Bucks in that second round, possibly? Or would you be okay with them getting the 4 seed, perhaps getting quote-unquote home court advantage in that first round and having to see those Bucks in the second round?
You know, Tyrone, this is such a tough question to answer only because this is so totally new.
Yeah.
I think that if you're a coach, let's say, you can go back and take a look at the analytics and say to yourself, okay, what was trending in the right direction? What was not trending in the right direction? Do we take these 8 games to tweak some lineups and that sort of thing? There are many unanswerable questions. You're talking about now, how will players react to playing without fans, playing in a closed environment, playing with the fear that there's the possibility of infection? I'm not even talking about the Bucks for a second, okay? I'm just talking about,
yeah.
I'm just talking about, you know, how are people going to react with all of these unknowns?
Yeah.
You know, I did have one thought in that there, when I think back on how the regular season played out and how great the Sixers were at home and how subpar they were on the road, well, the playing field here now is level.
Yeah.
So you're not playing in Milwaukee's arena. You're playing the Bucks in a gym without fans. That's in neutral territory. How does that affect things? You know, there are certain circumstances whereby it's not just going to be about matchups, but, you know, these other factors that are taking place. So I think if you're the Sixers and you've been aiming for the playoffs and now you've been reinforced with other players that you've been able to pick up along the way, I think you have to say to yourself, sooner or later, we're going to have to meet the best, whether it's the finals or the conference finals. So we might as well take the guys who we have on our roster and put them up against whoever it is that we face and see how we make out.
That's a good point. And if they were to move up, that means in those 8 games, this new roster, like this whole new season, that means they're playing good basketball. And I guess maybe playing good basketball, entering these new playoffs, maybe that's more important than anything else. Maybe this team, if they can get everybody healthy and everybody back together, I know you talked about it a lot during about how few games this team really got to play together. Maybe if they're all together and playing well for those 8 games, they go 6-2 or something, 7-1, they're going with momentum, and it doesn't matter who they play because they're playing their game at a high level.
Or maybe to some extent, does the coaching staff decide, all right, we're going to take these 8 games and maybe experiment with some lineup changes. You know, I know that for that one game or a couple of games, at least, Al Horford came off the bench, then he was put back in the starting lineup. That has to be the most obvious thing to consider. I would think that if anything, maybe the coaches put more premium on experimentation and tweaking and less on trying to get, quote unquote, the best possible seed or to avoid the Bucks or what have you, and then let the chips fall where they may in the postseason.
That makes a lot of sense. We're talking to Mark Zumoff. Everybody knows play-by-play for the Sixers on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Shake Milton's a guy that fans call about all the time. Whenever we talk about the Sixers, he comes up because people were down on Al Horford towards the end of the year. Fans were down on him, just speaking from a fan's perspective, and they were impressed with Shake Milton against the Clippers, and he had a nice little spurt, and then the season gets paused. Do you think it's possible that Shake Milton can be this wild card coming back, or is it just way too much to ask for a guy like him to step in and actually play like playoff minutes for a contender?
It's a really good question, and I would say this. It's great to have options because the Sixers went out and got a couple of wing players before the trade deadline of Glenn Robinson and Alec Burks. And now they have a wing player who has, I'm sure, more than exceeded their expectations, certainly for this season. I do want to go back to the decision to acquire Al Horford and how good I think it looked to most fans in the summer.
Yes.
Where you knew that you were going to get a limited amount of games out of Joel Embiid, where you thought that if they started next to each other, that Horford with his high post passing and his outside game could potentially be a complement. Now perhaps the analytics or the results have shown you otherwise, and perhaps putting a guy like Shake Milton in the starting lineup and, let's say, making Ben Simmons more of a point power forward than anything else would be the way to go and bring Horford off the bench. And then something we haven't even talked about is getting Ben Simmons up to speed.
Yeah.
I mean, not only has he been in the same boat with the rest of the players, but he missed, what, a good month or so before all this started with his back problems. And he hasn't even played two-on-two basketball yet, let alone five-on-five. So I think the most immediate concern right now is to get him to full speed. And then, you know, do you tweak the lineup? Well, I would think that that eight-game regular season finale is going to be play a big part in determining whether or not you tweak the lineup or not. But, yeah, I think it is certainly something that the coaches would consider, absolutely.
Yes, and my next question was actually, and final question was going to be about Ben Simmons, because Joel Embiid, we won't know about his conditioning until the game start. We'll hear things, but we won't know for sure. But that Ben Simmons back, a lot of people thought, well, this is good because this gives him a lot of time to rest, and maybe if the season doesn't get interrupted, he doesn't come back because of the back. But you just mentioned he hasn't played any basketball since February, basically. It was the game after the All-Star break against the Bucks, and we really haven't seen him play any basketball. He hasn't played much basketball at all since then. Would it be unrealistic or unfair to ask him to perform at the highest of high levels after this long layoff?
It's a really good question. I've been actually thinking about this, and while many players have been, like many of us, quarantine, secluded, what have you, and away from basketball, Ben Simmons was cleared to have some level of physical therapy during all of this.
Yeah.
So will that help in his conditioning? That is the one thing, Tyrone, that is controllable, is your fitness level, the fitness level of your players.
Yeah.
The rest of it, how they react to this new atmosphere, playing on a neutral court without fans and everything else, that's something that you're going to have to find out as it reveals itself. But having players in shape and at a good fitness level is certainly something that can be controlled. Ben Simmons has shown, except for this back injury, has shown a remarkable ability to play big minutes, to recover quickly from injury, previous injuries. I think the previous two seasons missed only one or two games in each season. So, you know, with Ben, you never know. I'm sure the Sixers will want to be careful, as any team would with an all-star, and make sure that they don't rush things. They're going to have to work carefully with the medical personnel. And those 3 weeks, you say, arriving July 7th and playing on or around the 31st, that's going to tell them a lot. And maybe those eight games they will use to kind of ease him back into it. And then hopefully by the playoffs, we'll be able to play his normal 35 minutes.
Yeah, I hope so. Listen, I'm very excited that they voted to come back. I can't wait to hear you and Allah get back to doing games. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it, Mark.
Yeah, and I do want to add that for fans who are interested, and I don't know who wouldn't be interested at this point, we're going to have a special, a Sportsnet Central special. It's called Sixers Return to Play. It's going to be a 30-minute show hosted by Amy Padula. We're going to have Serena, myself, Danny Pamels, Paul Hudrick, and Tom Haberstroh does a great job covering the NBA at large for us, and that's going to air 9 o'clock tomorrow night, and that will actually follow the re-airing of the big Christmas Day win over the Bucks. Speaking of Milwaukee, so 9 o'clock tomorrow night, Sportsnet Central special, Sixers Return to Play.
Oh, I can't wait. I didn't know about this. I can't wait to watch that. All right, well,
that's why I'm here, to help you out a little bit, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day and stay safe.
You bet. You too.
All right. Appreciate it. That's Mark Zumoff, the great Mark Zumoff. It's almost like you can't have Sixers without Mark Zumoff.
No, you're right.
No.
You can't have Sixers without Mark Zumoff.
No. Man, that Christmas game feels like a light. Like a lifetime ago.
The world has changed in a lot of ways since then.
Can't believe it. Like, it's crazy that it's still the same season.
Right.
You know, like, it's
going to go into October.
Oh,
man. Unless it's a bunch October of 12th, latest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, now they're talking about the draft on, like, the 15th. They hear it real fast. Remember, the word of the day is listening. 610-632-0975. We'll get right back to that. They say June 15th, that's when the international players come back. June 21st, that's when all the players report for like a mini camp. And then 22nd, that's when the testing starts. So a full, more than a month before the actual games. Training camp would begin June 30th. And then on the 7th, that's when the 22 teams would then travel to Orlando with the plan of the first regular season game being the 31st. The last game would be the 12th. And free agency would start on October 18th. And if everything went perfect, the speculation would be they would almost get only a few weeks off, and then the season would start December 1st.
Man. I'd basketball all the time.
I'd rather do the Christmas Day thing.
The problem is the NFL plans to play on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So do you roll out your season and get stomped?
See, yeah, that's a good
and
point.
And what if the rules for outdoor stadiums are different than indoor stadiums, like people think right. there may be? So they're outdoors with fans.
Right.
And you're indoors starting the season without fans.
Right.
I think that they say all of this is some of this stuff is fluid. The training camp, but most of those dates, as far as this season goes, this is their plan as long as the virus allows.
So, I guess, I mean, just timing-wise, and this might be like a dumb question, can it ever, how would it go back to how it was before the scheduling? Could it?
That should be the new calendar, right?
Would this have to be the new calendar going forward? How would they
Not
ever?
Not necessarily, because you're starting in December, you're starting a month late. You go a month later.
Okay.
So you finish in July.
Instead of June.
You almost start November. It's like Halloween, roughly where you start. So now you start December 1st. You go to July. Have a shortened off season. If you want it, you can start again the next
Halloween.
But
haven't they been looking for an excuse to change the calendar?
That's what they say.
Right.
But we'll find out. Also, is TV okay with it?
Right. Yeah.
Because they dictate a lot of that, too. Like, just because the NBA wants it, does TNT want it? Does ESPN want it? Does NBC Sports Philadelphia? Like, do the regional people want it?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, those are meetings that I'm not in.
No, we're not in those meetings.
How crazy is it? Going back to the Christmas Day thing, Goodell's like, I don't care it's a Friday.
Yep.
I don't care.
Yeah, we're playing
I don't care
Christmas.
That we've been traditionally playing Sundays.
Yeah, nah.
No.
We're playing Christmas this year.
Yeah.
Why? Because I said so.
I'm Roger Goodell, and we're football.
Oh, yeah? What you going to do about it?
Right.
What you going to do about it?
Roger, you play Sundays. No, this year we're playing Friday. And this one Friday we're playing Friday.
Yeah, this one, because it's Christmas. Now I watch the NBA have it. We'll have it. We'll have Thanksgiving. We'll have Christmas. Hell, if I tell them, we'll have 4th of July.
Right?
I said so.
He would.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
I know.
All right, to reset, word of the day is listening. Drew Brees. Everybody's been talking about it all around the sports world. And Drew Brees, a man 40 years old, is about to enter his 20th year and came off completely tone deaf because I don't think he ever spent any time listening to his teammates. And that's not just Drew Brees. That's a lot of people at work, in marriages. Many times when marriages break up, from what I hear, is they stop communicating. They stop listening to one another. Listening is everything. You can't just be around one another because Drew Brees has clearly been around a lot of black people. But has not spent a lot of time listening to him. And do you think he should have apologized? 610-632-0975. Mark in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing?
What's going on, Mark?
Question, man. I'm a third-generation veteran. Mm-hmm. And I understand what Drew was talking about with his grandfather. But what he failed to realize is my grandfather fought in that same war.
Yep.
When they came home, his considered bro.
His phone's messing up again. John in Haddon Heights, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I am so happy that basketball's coming back.
Yes.
But that's not why I'm calling. I want to say first, I'm a Quaker, and I'm a graduate of a history program down at Rutgers Camden.
Okay.
So I do have a little bit of education-type insight into today's issues.
Mm-hmm.
First, I wanted to lead off with, you are so right about listening. There's an old Quaker saying, which is kind of a question, which runs like this. It goes, are you listening to the other person, or are you just waiting for your turn to talk?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what a lot of people are doing these days. They're not listening. They're just waiting for their turn to talk, and they really don't care what you have to say. And that sounds like what Brees was doing on his first attempt there before he realized his awful mistake and backtracked on it.
It does, because it seemed like this was a time for him to be empathetic to his fellow man, and instead he just went off with his worldview, and he was trying to defend his worldview by using everything but what was actually happening in the world today.
Right, like he never even heard the question that was actually asked of him.
Right, you're absolutely right about that. It seemed like he was just going on his own agenda.
And second point is, you're 100% correct about protests. I've been involved with the Quaker protesting since I was a teenager.
Really?
In fact, there's an FBI file on me because I once was involved in a Christmas march for peace and love. And back in the 80s, and the FBI followed us. And so, yeah, we're kind of used to that sort of scrutiny. And So for us, you know, and, you know, Quakers are nonviolent.
I know. So you guys are pacifists, right?
Yes, exactly. So there was never any chance that we were ever going to get violent about anything. And most of us were just kind of teenagers anyway.
Right.
But you're right that nobody really responds to peaceful protests until people take the streets. That's how you get people's attention, and that's how you get things done.
Nah, you're absolutely right. I appreciate it, John. John's an interesting person.
Yeah, the Quaker community. I don't think we've heard from them.
No. That's interesting.
That is interesting.
I always wonder if I could mellow out and be like have that kind of Quaker life. Like, I haven't been in a fight in forever.
Right.
It was like a long time. Like, yeah. Over 20 years. I don't want to get in fights.
Right.
So, like, could I be like a pacifist and just say, hey, turn the other cheek and just, could I do that? I always wonder, like, if I have it in me.
I don't know if you do.
Yeah, I don't.
I think I do.
Yeah. I will say, Tyrone, I don't think you, no. I don't think so for you.
Yeah, no. Probably right.
I think I do.
Probably right.
As I get older, yeah,
I do a better job than I used to being able to take a deep breath.
Well, yeah, everybody should be able to. It shouldn't be an age thing. I mean, I guess it is.
But if it is. You know,
sometimes the world's lucky they're not getting a version of me from 20 years ago. Like this.
Oh, I bet.
You don't want that. My fastball right now, I can heat it up to 100 like once.
Right.
Back then, it was 100 all the time.
I can't even imagine 20-year-old Ty.
It was fire. Throwing gas. All gas. Now it's got to get by with guile.
Better Jamie Moyer. Yeah, you're in the corners. That's all.
I can heat it up when I need to.
Yeah.
Jamie didn't heat it up.
No, I can still. I'm Jamie Moyer with a real fastball. But I prefer to throw the backdoor slider, little cutter, go ahead and no ground ball. Go ahead and sit down.
Oh, you knee check? You pat knee check?
Oh, boy.
Throw frisbees?
Oh, boy.
I can't. No, never mind.
Forgot about, baseball.
Yeah, baseball. won't see that anymore.
No.
Baseball's not happening.
They'll be back.
They haven't listened.
They'll be back.
Oh, God, I heard you during.
They'll be back.
On the other side. All right, 610-632-0975. More of your calls. Listening is the word of the day. Drew Brees, his failure was not his opinion. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. His failure was 19 years in the league and apparently very little listening. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Another new one. Little weekend in there.
Yeah.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. 610-632-0975. And now it's time to update our Twitter poll. And that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons.
All right, Ty, we have over 2,000 votes on this one so far. Do you believe Drew Brees needed to apologize? 57% say yes. 43% say no.
Right, that's a lot of votes. So that's a lot of people who don't think he needed to apologize. And fine, that's fine. I mean, I think he needed to apologize if he wanted to keep leading that locker room. But he didn't need to apologize if he didn't mean it. Hey, there's no point. No one should ever apologize phony.
Yeah.
If it's not real, don't bother.
Yeah.
Nobody wants your little fake, piddly apology. Like, no one wants that. So he's now backed himself a bit into a corner.
It's almost like when people say, I'm sorry that you feel so bad, like you're not actually internalizing the problem. It's like, I'm sorry you feel bad, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm sorry for my actions.
Right.
I'm sorry you feel badly about it.
Sorry.
Are you?
I'm sorry that that what I said hurt you.
Yes. I'm sorry that what I said hurt you. Not I'm sorry for, you know.
Right. I'm surprised he didn't go with, you know, if that reporter didn't ask me that crazy question.
Right.
I wouldn't have said that.
Right.
Because that's my other favorite apology.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about this, but had you not done that, then I wouldn't have done the thing that was wrong. That's another fraudulent apology. Drew, at least this one. I also, why did he pay? He paid for like some clip art.
Allegedly, he paid 30. I don't know if he paid for it. He definitely found it on the internet. Somebody paid 30.
Didn't have the watermark on it.
Somebody paid $33 for the stock photo.
With the. I didn't need that.
No, I didn't need that. There's like so many things. I think
he also should have just done a video. His original issue was on video. He should have just done a video.
Yeah.
Where he literally, or just something holding up a sign saying, I'm sorry, with the description.
Yeah.
The white, the black hand doing the handshake.
So corny.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Like,
what are you doing? Like, clearly a PR team thought, oh, man.
Yeah. Whoever his people are were like, okay, let's compile this together real quick. If he was truly sorry, it could have been a more thoughtful, planned, like, remorse. But it's just, all right, here, we're going to Google black and white together.
He should have used the meme.
It would have been cheaper to just use the meme.
Wait, which meme?
Is it Schwarzenegger and...
And Carl Weathers.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Was that from the Predator?
Yeah, from Predator. Just do this way cheaper. Just use that. Why pay money?
I'll tell you what, the blue background jacked
in that movie.
They are.
People know that Schwarzenegger's jack. Carl Weathers was low-key jacked.
He was a tank.
In Predator.
Yeah, he was. Just because he went out,
you know, can't spoil a movie that's like 50 years old. You know, he just went out early in that movie.
Poor
Carl, man.
Come on, Carl. Carl the Truth Weathers.
He went down fighting in that movie.
Yeah, with one arm.
Yes.
Still going hard. Predator is a beast movie, by the way.
Predator is good.
A beast movie.
I think it gets the respect it deserves.
All the time. I feel like it did like 10 years ago.
I mean, after the first one, it was just done.
Yeah.
They've been like 8 Alien vs. Predators since then.
Yeah.
That's too much. Huh.
Predator.
The Predator. Good.
Now that's Jesse the Body. Yep. I ain't got time to bleed.
that's a classic 70s, you know, action movie line.
Even though that movie was the 80s.
80s.
Yeah, it was in the 80s. Yeah.
87.
There you go.
Sorry, I just yawned.
Predator. All right. Brian and Holney, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Hello.
You're on the air, Brian.
Hey, Ty. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Good. I just want to start off with rest in peace, George Floyd.
Yes.
And I want to get to I just got 2 points. I don't know about Drew Brees, but I just want to give my feelings about the flag that too many people served in this, in wars and deaths, lost limbs, come home, suicide. And, I mean, that's why I would always stand for the flag.
Okay.
And I understand other people's view on it, but I just think there's other ways to go about it, maybe through Congress, Senate.
Hold on, Brian. What about the black people that fought with you that came home and were treated badly? What do you have any compassion for any of them?
Yes, exactly. Sure, exactly.
I didn't hear you say that. See, that saying you were able to talk about your thing, but you didn't talk about the other side. As long as you can talk about the other side and work that out.
I said I understand the other side. I just wish there was, the flag wasn't in the middle of it all. I don't know why it has to be the flag.
Okay, bro.
Why we can't take other ways of doing it.
So which way would have saved George Floyd?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Which way? Because I am all open ears, open heart, open mind.
Mm-hmm.
What is your suggestion? What could be done to a protest that you would approve of that would save the next George Floyd?
Well, I think George Floyd, God rest his soul, but I think things will get done now. And Congress has to step up. Senate has to step up.
With what?
President has to step up. I mean, we had a black president for 8 years and nothing got done. I don't understand that. It's been going on way too long.
Right, but you didn't answer my question. See, that's the issue. I understand. And here's the other part where like people like Drew Brees are not actual patriots. And I'll explain because people might think that's some hot take. If you love a person, you love them flaws and all. You know that they don't do X, Y, and Z or they don't do whatever and you love them anyway. If you're a patriot and you love America, you should love America, flaws and all. You don't get to pass up all the flaws and just say you love America. No, you must embrace those flaws. You must acknowledge all those flaws and then love America anyway. That's a patriot. So if I say I love America and I'm very aware of slavery, I'm very aware of Jim Crow, I'm very aware of everything that happens in America, all of it. And if I still love it, that means I'm taking a full view of it based on the potential of what America could possibly be. But if you have your head in the sand about the negative things that have happened in this country because it didn't happen to people that look like you, you're not actually a patriot. We've all seen that person that loves some girl but does it, or loves some guy. He's cheating on her or she's cheating on him 100 miles an hour. But she can't see it or he can't see it. Soon, man, and you know as soon as he goes home, he's going to be with this person. That we've all seen that particular thing. You have to be able to see it all, warts and all. And what Drew Brees tries to do clearly is he wants to see none of the warts. He just wants to see what's right. That's not patriotic. That's loving. That's piecemeal love. If you want to love something, you have to love all of it.
That's conditional love.
Right. You have to say, yes, there was slavery, but then you have to acknowledge, okay, well, it was abolished in America. But you can't just say, well, yes, people fought and died for that flag, but some people that fought and died for it, the ones that didn't die, that made it home, they weren't treated so well. He's not taking a real view. So I question anybody's patriotism if they can't look at the whole picture and then say they love America.
Yeah.
And then say they love the flag. That part is always like, it's very easy to love anything if you only look at the positives.
Because you're only loving it under certain conditions, where if you really, right. where if you truly love anything in life, they say it should be unconditional.
It's unconditional. You love all of it. All of it. Like, there could be a person that says, well, I hate leaving the house and I get to work from home. I kept my job. So I like this part of the virus because I'm home. But do you have to still acknowledge, well, people died, like over 100,000 people died, a lot of people lost jobs. Like, you have to, if you then still love the virus, well, odd, but at least you took the whole thing in. You can't pick the, oh, well, I don't like leaving the house, and now I don't have to leave the house. You can't just take the one little part and then say, oh, well, it's awesome. And that's why I do question anybody that speaks the way he did in these times and then call themselves patriots. To me, that's not patriotic.
I just think we know too much now. Like, we've come this far. You know, we should just know better.
We should, and he would if he spent word of the day more time listening.
But to that caller's point, I mean, he brought up, you know, they should go. People should go to Congress or go to Senate or something. Didn't Malcolm Jenkins and Chris Long and some of his teammates, after games on Sundays,
yes,
take
literally.
The train ride yep. to Harrisburg on
yep.
Monday.
Deal with the governor, yep.
Yes. Like, a couple times.
Yep.
And here we are.
Right. That's the thing. Like, finding something that's acceptable for everyone that actually makes change, that's a needle I can't thread that needle. I don't think that's a needle that's threadable. Scott and Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing, Scott?
Man, awesome discussion. What I would say is that listening is a part of it, but the key is that the person has to be willing to change and or respect.
That's fair.
And what I mean by that is they either have to be able to change their view of belief, or they have to just be able to respect the other person's beliefs.
But at the same time, I'm going to let you finish, Scott. But what I'm saying is, I don't necessarily, Drew Brees does not have to change his mind. But what Drew Brees has to do is get more information before making his next point. All Drew Brees did was talk about Drew Brees. And that was my, okay. Drew Brees doesn't have to change his mind at all. Drew Brees can believe whatever he wants to believe, but he needs more input because clearly he didn't take into account anything that his teammates have been saying for the last 19 years. But go ahead, finish your point. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. And I'm gonna reference actually a call that you had back in 2018,
mm-hmm.
and I was never more proud of you than on this call. The backdrop is something that happened with a baseball player's tweet. It was like a racist tweet.
Yeah.
And the next time he played, like the stadium, you know, applauded him, basically cheering him on for that racist tweet.
Okay, yeah, I remember what you're talking about.
This was August of 2018.
Yeah,
I don't remember
the guy with the Brewers, yeah. It was the guy with the Brewers, yeah.
Thanks, you were Andrew. Doing the show by yourself. You got a caller in, a white male caller, who was basically trying to say that we African-Americans were better off having been enslaved. And you challenged him on that notion. You kept asking him, wait a minute, are you saying that you feel that we're better off? And he deflected it for a few times, and then finally he said yes, and you just banged on it.
Yeah, well, I do remember that. This was the thing. And okay, all right, with that particular caller was talking about because black people got to America, then you went through slavery, but the fact that you get to America made it better off. Like the basically like the juice was worth the squeeze was his suggestion. But my issue was, like, I don't know where my ancestors were taken from, but I happen to think very highly of myself. How do I know that I couldn't have been enriching wherever my ancestors came from there instead of here? Like, I don't know that it would be worse off. Like, if I got to stay, like, you
wherever.
You, that's what I'm saying, wherever. You strip that place of one of their natural resources, which is people, and make them laborers somewhere else. You don't know how great it could have been back there if we were allowed to stay there, wherever it is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There was no choice.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, how do we know that those nations could be awesome if they weren't, if the people who helped make this nation awesome were still there making that nation awesome? You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But black people are part of what makes America great. Well, if they were left wherever, and that's one of the real sins of America, is that you could at least let us know where exactly.
Right.
But we don't. That place could be awesome. We could have been making that place awesome. So then how do you know it would be better? But so that's what I always say to the juice worth the squeeze people. Like, America is, like, I still think America is a great country overall. But yeah. I don't know if South Africa would have been awesome. Maybe Zimbabwe, who knows? I'm saying any of those other would have maybe been really awesome if more people got to stay there.
We just as a country need to own up. We need to own up to all of it. All of it.
Yeah, we do. And we will, eventually.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Well, thank you. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5
The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975. We'll talk to you about the Philadelphia ESPY Awards for thousands of high school athletes. This is the season that wasn't. All of their hard work and achievements on and off the field were stolen away, but we've got you covered. 97.5 The Fanatic and ESPN wants to honor the local athlete an honorary ESPY Award. So go to 975thefanatic.com right now and nominate a local outstanding student athlete whose achievements were not rewarded. On Monday, June 15th, we will start the voting process to award a Philadelphia ESPN ESPY. The winner will be announced Friday, June 19th. Again, go to 975thefanatic.com to nominate someone. And for more details, the official honorary ESPY Awards is brought to you by Capital One. Tune into the ESPYs on Sunday, June 21st at 9 p.m. on ESPN. This is all presented by ESPN and 97.5 The Fanatic. So that's nice for a high school kid to get a little love that in a season that was tough.
I know. I just think of all these poor kids and everything that they haven't been able to do. Or
For the vast majority,
yeah.
This is the last time they'll really play
in
high school. Most people don't play in college,
right.
And even smaller play in the pros.
I know. This year has just been so tough for so many.
Tough deal. But I bet you there's some kid who's just happy he was able to get out of gym class.
That too.
You know there's some of that. There's some people that were having on the flip side.
Yeah.
I got out of gym class.
I used to go hard in gym class.
I liked gym class.
My high school, we did a volleyball tournament every year. So anyone who went to Clearview, you understand. It got intense. Fights. I remember one kid got so angry that they lost. He broke his hand. He punched the wall. Yeah, it's way too over intense when it comes to the volleyball tournament.
Did you guys
used to have open gyms? where basically anybody from the whole school could play on all the courts. There'd be a bunch of games going on. There would always be fights after. They had to stop it. There were all like bad fights.
Oh.
Getting put through glass.
Oh.
It was rough.
Nice.
Did you guys have the the parachute day in gym class?
Well, when I was like four, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No, you didn't have the parachute day?
They hadn't been created when I was in high school.
Oh.
No one had ever put a parachute behind you.
It was one parachute.
Yeah, it was a giant parachute. And then, like, they would
run under and run back out.
That, yes. That's parachute?
Yes.
That's what that was?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
That was, whenever I think of gym class, I think of how wonderful
sometimes
that day
you
was.
Clothesline somebody when you're trying to go under it.
Yeah. The parachute was a gym class.
It's a good time.
Staple. I loved it.
That, and I know they don't have dodgeball in gym class anymore.
Oh, that's right, because it's bullying now, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, I gotta be honest. There was people headhunting me.
Yeah, same.
I survived.
Yeah, because I was one of the weaklings who went down first.
I was always limber. But, I mean, some of the bullies, they were trying to take me out. All headshots.
Yeah.
So you got to have a good duck, but at least you know you duck.
I knew they were coming for me first because I was small and scrawny.
No, I was very thick. And listen, and a lot of times I would have it coming because I'd never been a stranger to telling somebody what's what.
Oh, I was a geek.
Bullies never did a good job with me. Bullies always struggled.
Really?
Yes. Bullies would have a tough time.
Fifth grade was really tough for me. I was bullied pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Bullies had a tough time. I made it to where bullies would struggle.
That's good.
I would be able to frustrate them.
Yeah.
I would be able to frustrate them, both mentally. Nice. And then if it came to it, well, if we got to fight, we have to fight. But I was like, not going to happen.
One of my fifth grade bullies apologized when I was in college. That was nice.
Awesome. That is nice.
Isn't that? I mean, that's how bad it was. He remembered bullying me so badly. And when I saw him in college, he was like, I'm so sorry for what I did.
All my would-be bullies.
So thank you.
All my would-be bulliers now,
yeah.
I'm cool with, like, we're, like, cool enough to be, like, Facebook friends.
That's good.
Yeah, because...
It's funny, because I don't forget any of them, either.
Well, he sticks with you?
Yeah.
We'll have to go deeper into this another time. Oh, man. JD in Los Angeles, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, guys, it was a cool conversation. I wanted to chime in on this. You know, I'm a brother, man. I'm mixed myself. I'm Hispanic and black. So let me just break this down. This is why we look up 60 years later after the civil rights, 100 years later, 500 years later, and nothing has changed. Because what we do is we focus on the small things that really don't make a difference. If everybody in the NFL, black, white, Asian, whatever, all knelt down every game, all 16 games of the year, that wasn't going to protect George Floyd.
If single person in the NFL came out and said loudly, I'm against police brutality, I'm against racial injustice, all the time people were talking about it, you don't think that would make any difference at all?
No, zero. You know why? Because until they change the laws and start criminalizing these officers for doing what they're doing, a protest is not going to change. We did that right here in L.A. in 1992.
Yes.
Did it prevent George Floyd?
Did it prevent
any of these other kids from getting murdered 20 years later?
But it's not about new laws. But it's not about new laws. It's about applying the laws that exist. All four of those officers are currently right now in jail. All four of them.
But hold on.
All right. See, this is where the temperature, you know, that guy was full of vinegar. I think we had to have more conversation with a little honey. Too much vinegar. Oh, no, I don't want a conversation full of vinegar.
You get more bees with honey. You get more honeys being fly. Right?
Wow.
Right?
Harvey and Mount Airy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. That's
a violation.
Atrocity. Go ahead, Harvey. Harvey.
He's speechless.
See what you did to poor Harvey?
Harvey's got nothing.
No, it's funny. Remember that?
No.
You never heard that?
No. That was the first time I heard it, and I'm hurt. I thought I was hurt. I thought I was having a tough week. And you made that this week significantly worse trying to slide that joke in.
I haven't been able to get one in the last couple days.
I want to apologize to the viewers that heard that, by the way. Not the joke, the profanity. I was late on the button.
Oh.
That is my fault. I apologize for that, viewers. That's on me. So, but that joke, heinous. That's a real joke?
I didn't make it up. Do you think I would make that up?
Say it again.
You get more bees with honey, but you get more honeys being fly. I'll Google it. I'll try and find the origin. I didn't make it up.
As someone who, too, was bullied a lot as a kid, I can kind of see why. For Natalie.
Yeah.
With statements like
that. Oh, I've been told this my entire life.
I'll tell you what. If I was in school with you and you said that, I would not be nice to you ever again. I would hold that against you the rest of schooling. Like, remember that time in fourth grade Natalie said that?
Wait.
That's why in ninth grade I don't like
it. Here it is, and the best part is I just mixed it up too.
All right. What is that?
The appropriate one. See, Boonie knows it.
All right.
You catch more flies with honey. You catch more honeys being fly. I butchered it.
Oh.
But still, that's what I was aiming for.
610-632-0975. So we're going to continue the conversation in the 4 o'clock hour. Also, we need a way forward. We need a way. What can we do to avoid all of this that doesn't require doing damage? That's why we're going to talk to Reverend Corey Jones from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Burlington, New Jersey, on the other side. And then we'll continue this conversation. Listening is the word of the day. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson, in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.